Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Happy All-Star Week. Yes, Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow. We're not talking about any of that. I just thought I would start the show off with it. Week number two of this very program. Happy to be with you and happy to talk about the things going on, not only in our world, but beyond. 803-0930, *930, if you'd like to join the show today. Also 803-0930, if you'd like to text into the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Well, I had a busy weekend, as you might have heard. I was out of town for about 30 hours and back here, but let me tell you, two flights both ways, right? Had to connect and then go. So between the four flights, three of the four were delayed. So that was my luck this weekend. But got there, got back, and here we are today. Another person who was doing some traveling over the weekend, and I only bring this up, and I will continue to bring this up is what I should say. I'm going to continue to bring this up until we get an answer as to what the hell is going on. So the county executive, who we talked about last week. Yes, he's engaged. It was in the Buffalo News, and you could still find it prominently located on their Facebook page. The Buffalo News, that is. He was out of town again this weekend at some conference, the NACO, and he had to take pictures of people we don't know and of his, you know, of his card, the Honorable Mark Poloncarz, Erie County. He takes a picture of his nameplate every time he's at one of these things. I just want to know. I mean, I want to be fair and reasonable. How much should the taxpayer be expected to fund, or how many trips should the taxpayer be expected to fund for an official in a county of less than a million people? Like, to me, all this stuff that he's posting about. They have the minutes, and you know how I feel about anything. Welcome to our conference. First, before we get started, we're going to approve the minutes. Do I have a second for the minutes? Oh my gosh, I hate it. It's just, hey, here we are. We're going to sound official and sound important. And from the looks of it, that's what these conferences are. A bunch of people who are, hey, look at me. I run my county. And I just find it a little strange that the guy who told us for over a year that it was okay for our children to learn on Zoom, and that was all good and dandy, and that's fine, you know, just stay in your home, that he's not using the same logic for a weekend conference of county executives. By the way, not every county has a county executive. So they're saving money by not having to send someone to this. I just think it's laughable. I mean, we're hearing about all the issues. And by the way, everything at this conference is about why Trump sucks, right? That's everything he ever posts from this is look at me with this made up trophy. And oh, Trump is bad about everything. But he sends the, you know, he puts pictures. Now, he doesn't put everything on X anymore because he knows that it's just going to get ridiculed. But lucky for you, the listeners, I follow him on every platform. So I can bring you the stuff that he doesn't want to share on X. And he shared the talking points, the rundown of the meeting, where it had paragraphs. Can you believe that? And it had the bullet points of what they were going to talk about. Couldn't they have just emailed him that? And the reason I get upset about it, you're probably sitting there saying, Joe, come on, move on to something else. This is ridiculous. The reason that I focus so much in on it is because when we had Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick on Hardline a few months ago, he confirmed that the county does pay for these trips. And so far, this year, he's gone to like four or five of these conferences. There's only been 7 months. He's been in D.C. twice. He was in South Dakota. Now he's in Philadelphia. I mean, are the people that we elect to county government so unprepared that they have to go to multiple conferences every month? If so, maybe this job's not for you. If you need to go this many lectures after being there for 14 years, maybe the county executive job is not one for you. I just think it's ridiculous. So Hardwick confirmed that the county pays for these. And then when talking with Lindsay Larigo, she confirmed that the county executive doesn't come to the legislature and say, hey, here's I was at this conference and we had a very nice dinner. And here are the things that we talked about. But allegedly, he doesn't do that. So Hardwick says that we send him there because of the stuff he's going to bring back to the county, right? That was the line from the Erie County Comptroller. But then we talk to someone in the legislature, and they tell us that he's not coming back with what he learned. So if we're just going to take this at what we know from the posts, we're paying for the county executive to go get wined and dined at these look how important we are conferences to meet small state governors and historians I've never heard of. Like, you've got nothing better to do. This guy is out of the town more than he's in town. He's doing town halls in Fredonia. He's at his vacation home in central New York. He's over in London, which I'm sure the county didn't pay for the trip to London. So we're not gonna get on about that. I do think it's interesting he went to London during Wimbledon, but and didn't, you know, even mention Wimbledon. Anyway, so he goes to these conferences. He won't talk to us, right? I would love if someone in the media, I guess I'm saying if Sandra Tan, because she gets all the polling car scoops, if Sandra Tan could just ask the county executive, what are you bringing back from these taxpayer-funded conferences? Because I'm telling you, he's been to, what, four of these now this year? Five of these this year? No one likes a hotel conference room more than county executive Mark Poloncarz. My gosh. But I would be less critical if instead of showing us your nameplate, showing us a page. Just give us bullet points. I mean, this is what he said. Important discussion at the National Association of Counties National Conference. By the way, the National Conference. This is like the sixth National Conference this year. Remember, he was in D.C. when we had the tragic plane crash. He was in D.C. for the Zelensky-Trump meeting. He was in D.C. the same time that the president was talking to a joint member, the joint session of Congress. He posted from the hotel bar that he was watching this. So I'm just trying to outline. Then he was in South Dakota. Then he was in Albany. Now he's in Philadelphia. And he goes, important discussion on the future of disaster response. I'm honored to be part of the NACO Intragovernmental Disaster Reform Task Force, especially now since there's an attempt to eliminate FEMA. So he tells us that it's an important conference. But nowhere do I see what was learned at this conference, how you're combating what you call an attempt to eliminate FEMA. Like, what you've gained from taking our tax dollars and flying, I'm sure, first class to all of these conferences. Like, I think we should know. And even if we don't know, the legislators should know. The people that we pay to be our voice in the RAF building. And to me, it's a little discouraging that you've got people that say, well, this guy's on our team, so we're not going to question him. You've got people there that don't question, what did you learn? Again, Hardwick tells us that we're paying for what he brings back. Okay, Mr. Erie County Comptroller, what's he bringing back? Like, I don't think that's too ridiculous to ask. I mean, if it was Trump, they'd want the same stuff. They demand, oh my gosh, Trump did this. Can you believe he's at his vacation home again? We hear that all the time. I'm not even saying, all I'm asking for is why is it necessary to go to all these conferences? Now, I know you'll run away from the question. You won't answer it. You won't invite us to a press conference. But someone who's close with the Kanye executive, someone in the media, even if it's an email from Peter Anderson, who I know is listening, could someone just tell us, bullet point for us, exactly what was learned and why this had to be attended in person and not on a Zoom, why these pamphlets couldn't just be mailed or emailed to you. Again, you could read it on your tablet. I'm not asking you to use the paper in the RAF building. But if you're going to cry the money blues and then go on all these trips, and again, when he was in South Dakota, you know, it was going to sightsee while allegedly attending this very important conference. That's what I'm looking for. And the lack of communication, the lack of transparency out of this administration in the RAF building. Well, if you want to know why we are regularly picking on the guy, it's because he's like the least transparent. I mean, we're talking about local government, right? We're not talking about the president. We're not even talking about a member of Congress who represents, you know, about half the county. We're asking for the county executive of a county of less than 1 million people to just tell us what the hell you're doing on these trips. What is it bringing back? How is the county benefited from these meetings? Or is this really just a networking opportunity to look for your next gig? Or a, hey, look how important we are. We won an award that no one knew existed. I mean, that's just one thing. I mean, the guy is he's just not a transparent politician. And remember when the stadium negotiations were going on, he pretty much came out every day and said, well, I know and you don't. It's like he loves to have a secret. Look at what I know and you don't. Like, hey, Mr. County Executive, how did you know the Bills were talking to Austin? Well, they were, and they were going to move. Okay, no proof of that. No one has any evidence that actually ever existed. This is just a line that he pulled out, right? You know, the negotiations to extend the lease. That was another thing that we just, oh my gosh, you'll know when you have to know. I know. I'm in the meetings. It's embarrassing, right? But that was what your county executive was up to this weekend. Again, just out of town on your dime, learning something, maybe. And again, because a majority of the people in the Rath building are on his team, they just throw their hands up. Oh, he's on our team. We're not going to question him. Right? I mean, Tim Myers, you don't care what the county executive's doing? He hasn't brought that. You don't want him to bring that information back to the legislature? Doesn't that make you kind of feel less important? I don't know. No? Okay. Well, at least I asked. Also going on here in Amherst, and you know, I love when I have a chance to talk about the Station 12. Station 12 here in Amherst is still sitting there with two tenants, Whole Foods and At Home. At Home filed for bankruptcy, so that one might not be there much longer. But now there's reports that Station 12 is looking to complete the project and build two more buildings. I mean, does that not sound ridiculous to anyone else? They're going to complete the project while they have an entire empty building sitting there with maybe one tenant that we were told about but haven't heard much about since. I talk about a waste of money. I know I sit here and joke that Station 12, you know, nothing's there, right? Williams-Sonoma was going to come, but they waited too long. Pottery Barn, nope, they're gone. And now they're going to continue the project so we can have more empty buildings? I mean, there's nothing to obsess me more than driving around Western New York and seeing these development projects where they're building, you know, storefronts across the street from empty storefronts. Now, if you're on transit and you're building in Clarence and you don't want to be on the Amherst side, okay, maybe that's a tax issue. But you drive down all around Western New York. There's one in Lancaster that always catches my eye. It's next to an old plaza that's not full, right? There are some vacancies. Right next to it, a big, empty, beautiful, was probably built 10 years ago with nothing. I've never known anything to be in that building. So now Station 12, you got a big empty mall, which allegedly Doug Jamal is now going to go back on again because of how Amherst held up the process. I'm not blaming Doug Jamal, but he's now going to kind of reverse the plan with the boulevard and attempt to make it somewhat of a shopping center again, if I read the reports right. Well, I have a feeling that you might get more stores to come back to the already laid out boulevard than the Station 12 project, which has now, around Amherst, become a bit of a punchline. So I thought that was an interesting move. They're going to double down on it, right? Hey, we know that no one has moved in yet. We're going to double down, and we're going to build two more empty buildings to complete the project. Interesting strategy. They're really hoping if we build it, they will come, even though so far, no one has. 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, the AP says that staffing shortages in nursing homes is because of Trump deportations. I'll tell you what they say. I'll give you my thoughts. Would love your thoughts. I know when we talk nursing homes, you've got former employees that mention why they left, and I think it's kind of a hack move to blame the deportations. I'll tell you why after this on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope your Monday is going great. Want to talk about this AP article and want to get your perspective. 803-0930-930. So this is from the AP. Nursing homes, already struggling to recruit staff, are now grappling with President Donald Trump's attack on one of their few reliable sources of workers, immigration. Facilities for older adults and disabled people are reporting the sporadic loss of employees who have had their legal status revoked by Trump. But they fear even more dramatic impacts are ahead as pipelines of potential workers slow to a trickle with an overall downturn in legal immigration. Quote, "We feel completely beat up right now," says the CEO of AG Rhodes, which operates three nursing homes in Atlanta, with one-third of the staff made up of foreign-born people from about three dozen countries. The pipeline is getting smaller and smaller. Well, here's an idea. Why don't you make working conditions better? Because every time we do a show on nursing homes, there will be people who call in and say that the working conditions are awful. You know, I'm in charge of two units when I should only be in charge of one. I mean, the amount of stories that we've heard from former nursing home employees goes on and on. We've done a whole show on this. So, I mean, maybe look in the mirror, number one. Number two, I'm not sure I actually 100% believe this article. Because, I mean, you make it sound like Trump is just revoking legal status from everybody for no reason. And that's not what's going on. Like, this is another thing. Hey, you know how we can get people on our side? We'll blame Trump. It's an easy tactic from those in the media, especially those in the media that are trying to have a particular agenda. But I'm sorry, I'm not buying this. Right? If you're here legally, right? If you're in the country legally, if you did it the right way, you're here. You're not getting your status revoked. That's not what's going on. And also, you know, why doesn't this article spin it the other way? Let's say what they're claiming is true. I think it's BS, but let's just say what they're claiming is true. How about you spin this in a positive way? Well, now jobs have opened up for the 8% of able-bodied people on Medicaid that are looking for a job, that are looking for something to do for 20 hours a week. There's a way to look at it. And let's try to make this attractive to them. Now, the article does go on to say, unfortunately, Americans are not drawn to applying and working in positions that we have available. Frontline caregivers are overwhelmingly female, and a majority are members of minority groups, according to this group they're talking to, earning an average of just $16.72 hourly in 2023. long-term care homes saw an exodus of workers as COVID made an already challenging workplace even more so. Some facilities were beginning to see employment normalize to pre-pandemic levels just as immigration crackdown hit, though industry-wide, there is still a massive shortage of workers. I mean, could some of that exodus have been because certain places said you had to be vaccinated to continue having your job? Did that fit in? No? I also want to know who you're hiring. Like, if you're impacted by deportations, are some of these nursing homes hiring people who might not be in the country legally? You're hiring people that are, what, just here on a green card? On an expired green card? There has not been this huge revoking of legal immigration status, right? I mean, unless you've broken the law, that has just not happened. So again, I'm not sure I buy this article, number one. But number two, who are you hiring? Like, who was working at these nursing homes? And what about some self-reflection? Because we've had staffing issues at nursing homes since I've been in radio. This has come up constantly in news. And now your answer is, hey, let's blame Trump. This is all Trump's fault. Let's jump on with Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom and say that nursing home shortages are because Trump is deporting people. Again, he's deporting people who are here illegally. And so far, deporting people who have committed crimes. Dangerous people. People who have just outstayed their green card and would be reported before 2016 would have already been reported. It doesn't mention that everything Trump has done to this point is what every president would have followed through on before Trump. I mean, that's the thing, that's the quiet part that they're not saying yet. Everyone was against illegal immigration before Trump came down those escalator stairs. Then all of a sudden, a majority of the Democratic Party took a 180. And now, as we saw in the Biden administration, by the way, a lot of what Trump is doing wouldn't be necessary if Biden or, you know, whoever controlled the auto pen was doing their job. But again, it was orange man bad. So we have to be able to, whatever he says, we don't do, right? We don't continue the wall. We open borders. We put Kamala Harris in charge, but she never goes down there and visits the border. And we have millions and millions and millions of people flood over the southern border. So now, yeah, Trump and Homan have to take drastic measures because of the mess caused. Because God forbid you admit something Trump said or did was right. Now, they never said the Trump tax cuts were good, but they did extend them, right? And because, well, we can't do that. We'll complain about them now because we're not in power. But when we're in the White House, we'll pass those through, and we'll just know that our friends in the media won't draw light to it. So we're in this position, number one, because of Biden and Harris and the awful handling of the southern border for 4 years. With that said, I'm sorry, I just don't believe that these staffing shortages have to do with deportations. This has always been an issue. Nursing home shortages is one of the oldest headlines, or at least as I've been following news as close as I am. Right, I've always been following political news, but since I've been working here, I've been following local news, obviously, very closely as well. And we're always hearing about staffing shortages at nursing homes. So, again, just another example of trying to tie something in. And then, oh, my gosh, you want people to suffer? Look what Trump's doing to the nursing homes. I don't buy it. And again, if you look at the issue at the southern border, if you look at why Trump was put in the position that he was when it comes to illegal immigration, it is because of the mishandling. If people didn't go nuts in 2015 and completely change the rhetoric, change the views of people on the political left for how you view illegal immigration, we wouldn't be in this mess. But again, it's at every turn, these people have to fight Trump. At every turn, they have to make sure that if Trump says it's good, if Trump is doing it, we do an exact 180, right? I never heard of a sanctuary city before Trump was president. Now you've got sanctuary states, sanctuary cities. You've got Gavin Newsom pushing back. He doesn't really know what to do because he wants to be moderate Gavin Newsom so he can run in 28. But he's also the governor of a far left state. And if that presidential thing doesn't run out, he wants to be able to run back to his cushy job. It's a whole lot of crazy. Let me tell you that, which is going on. 803-0930, star 930 is the number for you. And, you know, something that's not detailed in this article is what kind of individuals, right? What kind of status did these people have, or what did they do to get deported? I mean, did you have people who were not legally in the country, who did not have legal status working at your nursing home? If that's the case, then I agree with the AP that this is a story, but it's a different story. If you're saying that these nursing homes had illegals, people who were not in the country legally, working at them, well, then, yeah, we need to focus on how we let that happen. But again, I think we can spin this to a positive. Okay, say you're losing these employees. Well, how about the 8% of those able-bodied people on Medicaid? We can put them to work, and nursing homes can fill some of those vacancies. 803-0930, star 930, if you'd like to comment on that. It's also the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone says on the text board, the reason why there's shortage in nursing homes is because they pay terribly. The only way the staff can really earn money is with all the overtime they have to do. Interesting point. Why can't nursing homes sponsor visas? They're not addressing the problem. So on and so forth. Again, 803-0930, star 930. If you had experience in a nursing home, and maybe you can shed some light on this, I'd appreciate it. And then there was an article in the New York Times. You know, when I look for what is the mindset of the average American liberal, I look to the opinion section of the New York Times. And they had a guest essay yesterday. And it said, is it time to stop snubbing your right-wing family? And it went on about this story. It was actually not a bad story, written by a leftist. I know. Can you believe a liberal wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times? Written by a leftist about how he did not like his brother-in-law, okay? And he really tried to avoid his brother-in-law because, are you ready for it? He didn't get the vaccine. I know. And then because of his politics and his love of Joe Rogan's podcast. And I mean, this was obviously written through the eyes of someone who just totes the party line. But then he started surfing with his brother-in-law and they found this connection. And now he is closer with his brother-in-law, even though they don't see things the right way politically. He sees that it was wrong to snub his right-wing brother-in-law. It was really a beautiful story. So then I thought, well, that's nice. Are liberals coming around? Are we going to have more civil Thanksgivings this year? So I click on the comment section. And if you want to look into the average American liberal's mindset, maybe not the average, that's not fair. More to the left liberal's mindset. You don't read the opinions, you go to the comment section of the New York Times and you get stuff like this. Let's keep it simple. Republicans voted for and continue to support an administration of dangerously inept miscreants who are running the great society who are ruining the great society my country once was. Did you ever meet a liberal who spoke favorably? Do not normalize evil. Okay. And let's go to the next one. Coddling the traitorous... Oh, that's not the one I want. This one from Washington, D.C. Yeah, nah. Let's be completely clear on this one. Mr. Trump has been remarkably consistent in what he promised to do to the United States and what he is doing now. The people who voted for Mr. Trump want what he's doing now. There should be no question about this. No. Anyone who is Republican at this point understands fully the GOP stands steadfast behind Mr. Trump. They understand fully that their votes empower him. I utterly reject all Republicans, including both my awful brothers and my sister, because they are wrong. History will be quite unkind. Could you imagine being related to this person? I'm not talking. I mean, this guy wrote an essay in the comment section in the New York Times. Obviously, he lives in D.C. Obviously, he has way too much time on his hands. Maybe he can go to a conference with the county executive. Now, this person continues on. No, people who voted for Trump three times, unless they are now publicly saying, my God, this is the biggest mistake I have ever made in my life, have proven that while they might be nice, they are not good people, as they are perfectly fine with fascism, with those who, oh my gosh, I lost my spot. I'm sorry. They are perfectly fine with those who are fine with fascism. My life is too short to waste time trying to find small moments in common with them. I mean, this is deranged. This is deranged language. And there's 600 and some comments, and 500 of them are this. Frankly, it's time to ignore and distance ourselves from them and their entire right-wing existence. I mean, can you imagine thinking that? They're mad at the opinion writer for saying that he found something in common with his brother-in-law. Now, usually in society, those were things that we applauded. We applauded that we were able to find things in common, right? We can talk about things even if we don't see politics the same way. And now you've got these ultra-left liberals in the New York Times completely bashing this person because he said, look at this beautiful story of how me and my brother-in-law found something in common. And not only can they not appreciate that, they want this article taken down and they want to ignore the existence of the right wing. I am not talking to my brothers or my sister again. History will be unkind to them. I mean, this goes on for days. I was looking at this last night and again this morning. No, that will never happen. They're blind. Wait a minute. Look at the comments of the like-minded people in the New York Times commenter and tell me that we're the ones who are blind? Another one. Nope. While there may be performance at a family gathering, a Trump voter, whether friend or family, is not worthy of my respect and can't earn it. Wow. I mean, I think this is kind of where social media started this political division, because we never would talk like that to friends and family that didn't think like us. But now people openly comment stuff like that. And like, I'm going to tell you this right now. I pride myself on being able to be friends no matter their politics. And I will continue to. But I am done with anyone who talks like this. And then what? Oh, I'm the exception? But you probably talk about me behind your back, right? Like, I see people on Facebook all the time. If you voted for Trump, don't bother talking to me. And then they'll text me, hey, did you see the Mets game last night? Like, hey, I'm all about talking for the Mets game, but what about that thing you put on social media yesterday? Like, don't get me wrong. I am one for looking past that. But, come on. You said yesterday, if you're a Trump supporter, unfriend me, and now you're texting me about the Mets game. Again, I'm fine talking Mets. I don't need to like your politics to talk Mets. I'm not a one-minded person. But I just, can we go back to, could you just clarify your statement for me? But we're seeing this over and over again. There is someone that I used to be really good friends with who hasn't flat out told me they don't like me, but has mentioned it on their social media postings that they don't like me and they can't watch a baseball game with me anymore because I voted for Trump and now they'll never want to talk to me again. And they'll randomly put, and I don't understand this, they'll randomly put on Facebook like, hey, if you voted for Trump, I hate you. No one asked you. Like, why did you have to volunteer that information? Why don't you just tell the people who voted for Trump that you know that you hate them? Like, why did you put that on Facebook? Like, two people follow you. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't get why we have to have, I mean, again, these are the same people that will sit there and tell you the Ziglas cartoon is a masterpiece and it engages thought, but they don't have any thought. The same people last week were telling me that the Ziglas cartoon engages thought, and that's why it was good. But from what I'm reading here, you have no thought because you only think one way, and if people don't think like you, there's no room for a second or a third opinion. It's your way or the highway. The democracy dies in darkness, people. Only want you to think the same way as them, or you don't exist to them. Remember, Trump is the danger to democracy. Those same people. But if you don't think like me, you don't exist. It's deranged. I can't think of it. This is deranged language in the comment section of the New York Times. And you're seeing it on your social media. You're seeing it again. I will never not be the person who encourages you to get along with everyone, regardless of what their politics are. But this is just the complete opposite. And again, this language, these don't look like people who are fans of democracy. These are people who are, hey, you shouldn't exist if you don't think like me. They'll sit there on their couch and fire off a tweet storm about how Trump is the problem and that Trump's the divisive one. That's not what I'm picking up from these comments on the New York Times. 803-0930, star 930, back after this. Hey, welcome back. Hour number two on this Monday afternoon. Talking in the first segment, we talked about County Executive Mark Poloncarz and his travel to Philadelphia. I'm almost positive this station is on at the Rath Building and they hear the criticism. Again, the best way, you know, if I was anyone important, okay? I mean, I'm not even anyone important. If David or Tom were like talking about me and saying, you know, that Joe Beamer, his show's awful. Not that they would ever say that, but I'm trying to make a point here. If David or Tom, well, that doesn't count because I'm friends with them. Let's say I was listening to another rate. Oh, I can't do that. All right. Let's say I was an elected official and I'm listening to David or Tom and I'm not me, okay? And they're saying, that Joe Beamer, my gosh, he's, you know, this. What is he doing? What the hell? I'd pick up the phone and call in. I really don't understand why more politicians don't do that. Like, if what is being said is wrong, again, you can say, well, I don't want to give credibility to that station. Well, we have a bigger audience than you've ever talked to. So you'll give credibility to the local paper that no one reads? But seriously, if you're hearing criticisms that you think you can prove wrong or you can explain, what's stopping you from calling in? Anyway, we were talking about the Kanye executive. And while I was talking about his trip to Philadelphia that no one knows what he was actually doing, he posted again about the conference, taking pictures with a bunch of people we don't know. And he says, I was proud to join my fellow Dim County office members to welcome the chair, Ken Martin, to Philadelphia. Again, okay. He succinctly stated that he and Democrats stand for by quoting his late mentor, Paul Westone, quote, we all do better when we all do better. You know, I would have to fly to Philadelphia to hear statements like that. I mean, just uplifting. It's truly as simple as that. Thank you, Chairman Ken Martin, for joining Dem County office. And we all look forward to working with you and your team to create a better county or country for all. Okay, that, I know you posted it to say, like, as a hat tip to, hey, Joe, I'm listening. But that doesn't still explain, again, we're talking about transparency. What did you take away from this meeting? What is the county gaining? Like, are we gaining how to respond to a blizzard better? Are we gaining on how to make sure the biggest city in the county isn't a mess? Did we gain how to be profitable when the federal government isn't handing us boatloads of money? No? Did we not learn any of that? Anyway, after that, we were talking about these comments in the New York Post or the New York Times. The average New York Times listener who comments on the, or reader who comments on the website, not happy with an opinion piece that said, quote, and I'm getting the actual quote here, that said, is it time to stop snubbing your right-wing family? An uplifting story about how this guy who didn't like his brother-in-law because they didn't think the same politically found something in common and are now quite friendly. And the readers of the New York Times were upset at the conclusion of this opinion piece. And let me tell you, for the pro-democracy people, they really only want one opinion. Bob in Orchard Park has held through the break, and we'll start off this segment. Bob, thank you so much for hanging on.
Yeah, you said so much in the past 10 minutes that I don't even know where to start. The reason for my call was to comment on how the Democrats will criticize Trump or any Republican, no matter what they do, and for another Democrat, no matter what they do, they won't say a word. They criticize Joe Biden. I will never pardon my son. I will not pardon my son. And the next thing you know, the auto pen pardons his son. I'll never believe that he even knew that happened. Jill Biden is the one that did that. I truly believe that.
Oh, Bob, there's a lot of things in that past administration that I believe we'll find out Jill Biden knew that Joe didn't.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, here's a perfect example of how Democrats won't criticize others. Right here locally, we had a mayor that ran up a $70 million deficit in the city of Buffalo. He walked away from that deficit to take a $300,000 a year job with the State Gaming Commission. And have you heard a peep out of any of the candidates running or any other Democrats criticizing him for walking away from a $70 million deficit? I haven't heard a thing about it.
No, you know why, Bob? Because they're hoping down the road, if they run into a problem, they'll get the same parachute. They're all hoping for that parachute to escape any kind of blame. They're like college football coaches when they do something and the school goes on probation and they leave to go coach the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it amazes me. And you're right about the losing friends on Facebook and stuff. Donald Trump is not my favorite person. Donald Trump is a jerk, all right? I truly believe that. But I love what he's doing.
Exactly.
So he's a good president, even though he's a jerk. Now, I don't know. I don't think it's mutually exclusive. So, if he called me up and wanted to have dinner with me, I'm not so sure I would accept. But I think what he's doing is the right thing for the country. And I'm sick and tired of the Democrats criticizing every move he makes when all the stuff that they've done and screwed things up, they don't say a word about it. I've lost friends on Facebook because of some of the stuff that I post, because I've kind of cut back on it after I lost a couple of friends.
But isn't it funny, Bob? Because there's Democrats out there, because I know these people. They will see what you post and call you out for it. But when they say stuff about, you know, whatever they say about Trump voters, they expect you just to ignore it and not bring it up when they see you in person. I mean, right. it's a complete hypocrisy.
Oh, absolutely. It reminds me. Well, I probably shouldn't say this, but the 1930s in Germany under Hitler, when you weren't allowed to say anything against the administration.
Well, I mean, if you look at these New York Times comments, they want one opinion, and they feel that if you don't think like they do, you're an awful person. I mean, and that is a dangerous mindset for members of one of the two biggest parties in the country to have.
It's very dangerous. I mean, they want to shut everybody up that doesn't agree with them. I mean, you've covered all this, and so I feel like I'm repeating what you said, but I was sitting here laughing because I'm thinking, oh, my God, this guy sounds just like me.
No, but, Bob, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's they want their opinion, and they're saying the quiet part, the part they had kept quiet for so long. They, if you don't think like them, and again, I think, as I've said in the past, I think this all goes back to my generation and the younger generation going to these liberal echo chamber colleges, we know where, oh, you don't like Ben Shapiro? That's fine. We'll cancel his appearance. And they think the real world should then conform around their opinions, too. And they don't know how to act when, oh, my God, a dissenting opinion. What do I do?
Oh, yeah. It's you know, sit down and shut up
yeah.
when it comes to anything that doesn't agree with their philosophy and what they want.
100%. Hey, Bob, appreciate the call as always. Bob in Orchard Park, 803-0930, star 930. He said something about Trump, too. You know, and I said this during the election, and I think people think like Bob, right? I'm you know, there's times where Trump says stuff. I go, why would you say that or post things? But you know what? I'm not voting. It's not a popularity contest, right? This isn't high school. We're not voting to see, you know, whose picture is going to be on what page in the yearbook. This is the president of the United States. So, yeah, there's things Trump's doing that I like, you know, hashtag I voted for this. And that's why I voted for the policy. I voted to get the Harris-Biden team out of the White House. That's what I voted for. No, there are times where I think, in Bob's words, Trump acts like a jerk. There are times where I'm not happy the way he says certain things. But I voted for what he's going to do and what he is doing, right? Enforcing our borders, enforcing laws. Yes, cutting waste out of the government. My gosh, making people responsible for them. Making sure that able-bodied people work can't just make a living sucking off the government. Yes, these are things I voted for. You know? My wife and I, we work crazy to try to have a decent life, right? And there's still times where we might come up a few dollars short. So you're right. I think that if I can come to work every day, if Tanner can come to work every day and bust our butts, put in extra hours, go above and beyond, that, yeah, some able-bodied person should not be able to sit on their couch playing Madden all day and be covered under Medicaid. Like, why is that so crazy? Why is that such a controversial statement? I'd love to be sitting at home, right? Well, no, I love my job. But I've worked jobs where I'd love to be sitting at home just playing video games all day. But, you know, I'm almost 37 and I have a child. I'm not going to have the government hold my hand. And I'll tell you, that is one thing that I am, the older I get, the more surprised I am by people who are, you know, who I feel have lived my experience in life, right? Jumping career paths, you know, living paycheck to paycheck at times, not having money for a credit card bill and seeing what it does to your credit score. I feel like at this point, people have had those experiences. I just think that you have some people that go, well, the government should help me when that happens. It's like, no. No. As I always say, like, if you don't like the money you're making at your job, go find another job. Or you might have to work a second job. Oh, my gosh. You got people in this country who think they're too damn important to work multiple jobs. And it's been more and more eye-opening, especially with Trump president again, about how many people just think it's the job of the government to hold everybody's hand. No. Yes, you're there. If you get laid off, you have unemployment. You have disability for those who truly can't work, right? Yes, you have the safeguards in place. But for people like me, for people like Tanner, who, you know, able body, can go to work, can get up, why shouldn't we expect them to work? Why shouldn't we put an incentive for them to work? I'll never understand that. I'll never understand the mindset that the government needs to be there like mommy and daddy to hold our hand. 803-0930-STAR-930. I don't know how we got off. Oh, because I was talking about why I voted for Trump. Yeah. Interesting discussion. Like I said, phone line's still open. 803-0930-STAR-930. Here is another thing. You want to talk about things I don't understand, especially with people who are my age. The obsession of childless, single adults to Disney. I'm sorry if that offends you. I don't get it. And I know there's people who listen who that's you, and I'm not trying to make fun of you. But, you know, hey, I love amusement parks, right? I can't wait to go on the Mind Eraser this summer at Darien Lake before a concert. So maybe I'm guilty of this, and since it's not Disney, I feel like I can comment on it. But the people who will spend a ton of money to go to Disney without kids, let me tell you, I love my son. Right? I love my son, and I know as he gets older, we're going to have to go to more outings where there's kids present. But man, let me tell you, if it's just my wife and I, like I am looking for a childless atmosphere, right? I was with family over the weekend, and we're talking to my cousin, he's getting married in January, and they said, yes, no kids at the wedding. I go, thank you. Okay, that's great, right? Again, love my kid, love my son. And I'm sure I'll love taking them to outings where, you know, where there's other kids, you know, whatever. But man, I love a getaway too. And when I'm talking getaway, I mean getaway from kids being present. Okay, so it does. I'm a little confused when childless single people or even childless married people want to go to a place where there's kids running all around. Like I think that would be absolutely annoying. But the reason I bring this up is Disney is now starting an app. It's called Single Riders. And it's a proposed new dating app that aims to connect Disney devotees along with other theme park enthusiasts with one another. The app will begin searching soon among the ever-expanding dating apps, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge. They still reign supreme, but new hyper-niche platforms are introduced to the world constantly. This talks about there's ones that are just based on your vacation. I guess that's just like the Disney one. In the same way, the app invites massive community of fanatics to plan dates in the park, discuss their Disney-related interests, or alternatively, build friendships. The creators have claimed the app will be available everywhere in the United States. Someone's going to have to enlighten me on this one. Again, I'm sure in the next decade, I will be going to Disney World again. But that is with my son, right? That will be for my son. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But I think you hit a certain age where you're like, why would I go to a place where I'm going to be surrounded by kids if I don't have a kid with me? But now, hey, Disney fans, if you're looking for someone to go to the theme park with, you know, say all your friends are now maybe married and have kids, but they're not old enough to go to Disney World, don't worry. You have an app now that will connect you to another Disney fanatic, and you guys can go together on a date to Disney World. You know, another thing this is doing, Tanner, is I don't think I've ever taken my wife on a date that expensive. And we've been together since 2018. Maybe that's just how bad of a husband I am. I'm not sure. 803-0930-STAR-930. When we come back, Mr. Met was at a Lumineers concert. I think the Lumineers might be one of the worst bands of all time. I'm sorry. I can't get into it. This is their big song from a few years ago. Oh. Yeah. Maybe it's because this played at Bed Bath & Beyond all the time. I think they're awful. And I want to know who you think is the worst band of all time. That's how we're going to end up this show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me.
Well, I didn't think of Nickelback, but Tanner, is Nickelback one of your worst bands of all time?
No, I didn't pick that because they're one of my worst of all time. It's just it's just people with my generation, but it's almost become a running joke.
Yes,
at this point with Nickelback, people do it with Creed as well. I like both of those artists, but it's like a running gag at this point that those are up there for some of the worst bands of all time.
When I was in school, you could not, when Nickelback was still making new music, you couldn't admit that you liked it. But someone obviously liked it because it continued to be on the popular radio stations. But there are people out there who would say Nickelback is right up there. 803-0930, star 930. So there's a viral video, I'm not sure you saw it, of Mr. Met on stage at a Lumineers concert. And he trips off the stage and falls, which, you know, broke my heart. But it also broke my heart that Mr. Met was on stage with the Lumineers. I cannot, you know, the Lumineers, Coldplay, U2, these are just bands that they do nothing for me. Like, that's the kind of music that will put me right to sleep. You know, I usually, and don't get me wrong, I like a ballad, right? Love Bites by Def Leppard, great song. I like a nice slow country song. What She's Doing Now, Garth Brooks. I'll never turn that song down. But these bands that, like, that's their entire discography is just this slow, this is all I know from the Lumineers. This is it's awful. I cannot imagine being excited that this song's coming on. Coldplay was another one. I had a friend in high school. He loved Coldplay. Great guy, don't get me wrong. But I never got it. I never understood the obsession with Coldplay. They have the one good song with the Chainsmokers. I think it's Something Just Like This. Okay. But they're on the list. U2's another. I can't think of one good U2 song. If I had to say, those are probably my three. The Lumineers, because they're still in the spotlight, even though they're not current. The Lumineers, definitely. Coldplay. U2. Now, Bruce Springsteen, as you know, I think is massively overrated. Okay? But I've always said this, as much as I don't think Bruce Springsteen can sing, his music is catchy. Like you hear, bop, 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 bop. I mean, even if you don't like the song, you start singing, right? So Bruce Springsteen, yeah, I think he's overrated, but he wouldn't be on my top five worst bands of all time. Now, we have a vote on the text board for the Dave Matthews Band. And if you were listening on Friday, we learned that Stefan Mihailu, big Dave Matthews Band fan, did not guess that. I'm not ridiculing, I'm not making fun of him. I would not have guessed Stefan Mihailu is a big Dave Matthews Band fan, but he is. But we're getting a few votes for them on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. My good buddy is texting me saying that it's a brutal take on U2 and Coldplay. Well, you know who you are. And by the way, I know that's probably a brutal take, but I did not guess you to be a fan of U2. Yes, Coldplay. Really? Let's go to Lloyd in Buffalo. Lloyd, who's on your worst bands of all time list?
B-52s.
Oh, you don't like the Rock Lobster?
No. Oh, man, I can't stand that. Every time I hear that music, it reminds me of the old music they used to use in the old Batman series back in the 60s. I could just picture Burt Ward and the other guy beating the crap out of TV villains with all those stupid captions across the street, across the screen, you know, bing, bang, zowie, all that nonsense. I could never get into that music. It just wasn't serious enough for me.
It's funny. The B-52s are such a, I think they're one of those groups who either love them or hate them. I don't think there's many people in the middle.
It always rubbed me the wrong way. And it was just something about the voice of that lead singer that always set my teeth on edge, you know?
Yes, you know what, Lloyd, I would not put them on my list, but I can see where you're coming from, and let me tell you, I did not expect the B-52s to get a vote, so I am really glad that you called in with that take, because it's not a predictable take. Thank you, Lloyd. Do you remember the game Rock Band? Does anyone remember Rock Band? It was you had Guitar Hero, and then there was Rock Band, where it was the guitar, the drums, and the microphone. And I used to do Rock Lobster on Rock Band when we were in college. We would have Buddy would do the guitar, do that, and I would, the voice that Lloyd doesn't like, I would try to imitate on the game Rock Band. However, with that said, I can completely see where Lloyd's coming from. I enjoy Rock Lobster. Love Shack. Love Shack is up there with Don't Stop Believing on just overplay 40-some years later. That song is airing on some classic hit station, at some department store, at a grocery store, as we speak. You know what I mean? Again, Journey, great band. They might have one of the worst songs of all time with Don't Stop Believing. I don't understand how that song became so popular. You look at all the great songs that Journey performed, Steve Perry's amazing voice, and Don't Stop Believing is their most popular song? Come on. 803-0930, star 930. Also, of course, someone's putting a vote for the Backstreet Boys. You know, I love the Backstreet Boys, but yes, I can definitely understand. I can understand why there might be people, you know, they don't play instruments. Even though, if you were at the Millennium Tour, they did. You know, Kevin was on the piano. Nick was on the drums. I mean, it's happened. It's happened. I better stop talking. I'm just talking myself into nothing but ridicule on the text board. Twisted Sister getting a vote on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. You know, I have to make sure. Oh, you don't like I Wanna Rock? Have you ever heard this song, Tanner?
What are you?
Come on. Yeah, that's one of those songs that, you, like, the first time you hear it, you go, man, this is a great ditty. And then you never want to hear it again because it gets that and We're Not Gonna Take It. The Boys Are Back in Town. I don't know who sings these songs. That's another one. But yeah, Twisted Sister, Beastie Boys, and NSYNC. Beastie Boys, I think their first album was very good, right? Very popular. And then when you got into the late 90s, when they were showing their videos on TRL, I think people were kind of getting sick of them. If I remember that correctly. 803-0930, star 930. I can't believe the people who are disagreeing with you two. It's just not my kind of music. I am not the, oh man, we need to listen to a mellow soundtrack, man. Like that, I like a ballad. I like a slow song. I usually like when Kiss will play Beth and then Detroit Rock City's right after it. Like that's how I want a ballad to be followed up. I feel like if I pop in a U2 album, it's going to be nothing but slow songs for 12 tracks. Oh, Tanner, how did we not think of this? Imagine Dragons. Yes. Put that on my top five. Imagine how that band, how that group ever got so popular. Every song sounds the same, and they all suck. Texter, I am so glad you put that in. Imagine Dragons, horrible. They're another one. They're the current. You go to a department store that's playing current music, it's the Lumineers and Imagine Dragons. What was that Thunder song? Oh my, talk, I would go crazy if I had to drive my car with no music on. I'd rather that, or no music or no talk. I'd rather that than anything Imagine Dragons. Let's go to, Dave in Tampa. Dave, you're going to break my mom's heart with this one.
Joe, congrats on your new show, buddy.
Thank you so much, Dave.
The worst music I ever listened to, and I still don't like them, is the Monkees. I hate the Monkees. I hate everything about them. They were so, that the music was terrible. The lyrics were, you could, a six-year-old could pick up the lyrics. It was just not one of my favorite bands of all time.
You didn't like Hey, Hey, Where the Monkees? We're gonna monkey around?
I don't care what song they would play. I would turn the station and put something else on. Terrible.
You know what's funny?
I'm sorry. It's not one of my favorite bands of all times. I'm sorry.
You know what's funny about the Monkees is my knowledge of them is because of Nick at Night in the 90s. Right. Hey Arnold would come on at 7:30, and then Nickelodeon would switch to Nick at Night. And the first show was the Monkees, followed by the Brady Bunch. I would go to sleep watching the Monkees for like 2 years.
Oh, Henry VIII, I Am, the worst song I ever listened to in my life. Unbelievable. I don't know who wrote their music, but they must have been in La La Land when they wrote it. Terrible.
Well, Dave, I think you'll have a lot of people who will agree with you. And like I said, it's my knowledge of the Monkees is from those 2 years I would fall asleep watching the replays on Nick at Night. Appreciate the call. Dave from sunny Tampa, 803-0930. Now we've got a few coming in. Foreigner. Again, I like Foreigner, but not, I mean, the lead singer is not with them anymore. And it's funny because I got to get the right name because I was going to say Lou someone else, and it's not. It's the lead singer of Foreigner is Lou Gramm. But Lou Gramm's no longer with them, and he's touring by himself. So, you know, I just call it a cover band. And there's nothing wrong with cover bands. But Foreigner is a cover band charging Lou Gramm prices. That's my problem with Foreigner. Like, Lou Gramm's going to be at Batavia a week before Foreigner's at the Erie County Fair. Now, no offense to the Erie County Fair. We're going to be there every day this year. But I'd rather go see actual Foreigner, meaning I'd rather go see Lou Gramm. You get what I'm saying? A few more on the text board. Billy Joel. You know, David was saying that last week. There's a few good Billy Joel songs. I mean, I think We Didn't Start the Fire is overrated. But, you know, I like that. What's the song? Heart Attack. I like that one. So, you know, that's, I like that one. Fall Out Boy. Again, Fall Out Boy's first album was really good. And then they got popular and they just made stuff that was going to get them on the radio. And that happens too often. Again, you want to cash a check, that's great. But if you listen to that first album, I think Fall Out Boy's first album, really good. and then they got worse and worse. Green Day, you know, they had some good albums in the 90s, and then they had that Holiday album, which it was just like a, hey, we don't like George Bush, and we're going to sing about it for 12 songs. Yeah, I mean, their stuff from 2000 on sucked. Now, someone put LMFAO, and I just can't agree with that. LMFAO was, they invented party rock. There's no party rock genre without LMFAO. And I saw them at the haunted houses in the old Bon Ton where Station 12 is currently sitting. They put on a good show. Also, an underrated band, which I agree with this. Underrated band. This is not a bad, this is a good band. Underrated, Bowling for Soup. I will agree with that. But coming up next, Tom Bowerly will take over. It's kicking off your week the right way. Tom, who do you think is the worst band of all time? Do you have a vote?
Oh, I wouldn't venture to say who's the worst band of all time, but I'm still in a bit of shock over your caller and his very, very deep dislike of the Monkees. What is there to dislike about Last Train to Clarksville? Daydream Believer. I'm a believer. They were really big in believing, the Monkees. And Mike Nesmith was actually quite a talented guy. He was a talented songwriter. So I have to take exception with the Monkees. Herman's Hermits, Henry VIII, I am. Yeah, that's just a novelty song. It's not real music. And the one you were thinking of was Billy Joel, Moving Out Anthony's Song.
Yes.
Is what that's called. And he must have been thinking of you because that's what he opened his stadium show with in Orchard Park.
Oh, well, you know, his stadium show was the same night as my bachelor party, Tom. So that's probably why, you know, we were on the same wavelength there.
Well, if that was your bachelor party song, it wasn't my song.
It was on the same night as well.
It must have been kind of a tame bachelor party, Joe. I'd expect nothing less from you. Just saying.
Hey, Tom, what's on the show this afternoon?
I don't have a bloody idea, actually. I'm actually thinking about doing something about music now, having listened to you. I'm just saying. But coming up, the first part of the program, I want to talk about e-bikes because, as you know, a couple of municipalities are talking about instituting laws for e-bikes. And one of the things, when we were in Europe last September, that the tour guides warned us to be on the lookout so it wouldn't happen to us. Bicycles in general at high rates of speed, mixing with pedestrians. And, you know, there was somebody in Chinatown, I think it was last year, Priscilla Lake, who was struck and killed by an e-bike. And some people think e-bikes need registrations, license plates. And here, the proposals are a little bit more, shall we say, laid back and subdued. But e-bikes, I want to find out, like, what the deal is with e-bikes and what kind of regulation should they have? And has anybody had a close encounter with an e-bike or just a regular bicycle? And one of the things, Joe, that has always been, well, not always, but periodically pops up in my mind is we have walking trails, walking paths in Western New York, right? There's a beautiful one right along the Niagara River in the Tonawandas. And it's always a debate. Is it a walking trail or is it a biking trail?
Ooh. What does
Because I used to walk 10 miles a day, every day there. And I can't tell you the number of times I had the bell ringing behind me. Bike, bike. Like, it's a walking trail. You're not supposed to be in a bike.
Well, see, there's the Clarence bike path, you know, and I like to run on that, or my son and I will walk on it, but I try to keep to the side. The problem with these e-bikes, Tom, is they're swerving in and out, and they don't use the bell, you know? And Clarence, they're not supposed to be on said bike trail, but I can't remember the last time during the day I was on that bike trail and didn't get whipped, you know, by a bike or someone on a scooter just going, you know, ungodly fast while, again, I'm just trying to walk with my son and, you know, enjoy the outdoors.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this certainly has to be addressed. You know, the whole bike path thing versus walking path thing versus running through, whatever you want to call it. And do we need? I mean, 50? Did I hear that right? 53 miles an hour? They got somebody in e-bike doing 53 miles an hour?
Wow, that's insane. I believe it. I believe it. You know, one thing I was going to suggest. This might be crazy, Tom. How about restrictor plates? How about if you want to ride your e-bike around a neighborhood, you have to install a restrictor plate so it can only go so fast.
Maybe. We'll find out what people have to say about the e-bike thing. I mean, e-bikes are kind of a new phenomenon. It's like anything else. The laws have not kept up with the technology.
That's right. Well, our technology is moving so fast. Tom, looking forward to another great show, and we'll hear you right after Tom Puckett. I'll be back tomorrow at 1 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.